Thank you, Barbara. Good evening. My name is Adam. Particularly warm welcome to you if you're here for the first time. You join us on the second week of a new series called History. Is it possible we could have that one up, Charlie? Sorry, the vic has been fiddling with the tech, and most of the time it works. And he can even flick his own slides. That's power and control, people. I'll repent of that later. No, if you're here for the first time, you join us on the second week of a new Bible series, which I've called History, where we're taking a look through the Bible from Genesis at the beginning, the first book right at the beginning of the Bible, to Revelation at the end. And we're looking at the story that God is telling throughout the Bible, the story of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And today we've got to the moment where we're looking at fall. But before we go any further, I just want to highlight something that's on the front of the news sheet. You don't have news sheets because we ran out. Inconvenient. If you go onto our Facebook page, you will find a link to a Bible reading plan, that's the word I was looking for, on an app called YouVersion, where you can join in. There's now 26 people from the church, from the 10:30 and the 6:30, all doing the Bible readings together. And it's a Bible reading plan from LICC, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And it starts, as we are doing, with Genesis and goes through the whole story of God to the end. And it's specifically looking at how the story of God helps us in our day-to-day lives, how it makes a difference, not just at church, but also at home and at work. And if you want to join us in doing that, then please do. It's a 50-day program, and that will take us to about mid-June, whereas our Bible series will take us to mid-July. So I'm thinking, we've got a month's grace, people. So if you're worried that you've missed the beginning, don't worry. I'm already a day behind as well. But if you want to join us going over this over the next term, then please do. But tonight, as I said, we're looking at the fall. And thank you, Barbara, for reading part of the story of the fall in Genesis 3. If you have one of our new Bibles with you, or if you have an app open on your phone, then do keep the Bible in front of you, because we will need some of the other passages in this as well. But my big idea this morning is that knowing that all of creation is fallen, can give us hope for the future. Knowing that all of creation is fallen can give us hope for the future. For those of you who know what the fall is, this might sound like a strange statement. But hopefully, as we go through this, I will make myself clear. Last week, Fiona, if you were here, took us through creation. And if you weren't here, I would recommend you go and listen to it online. It was an excellent talk. And one of the things that we saw as we looked through the story of creation, is that as God told us and created the world, he formed the world and he filled the world, he said time and time again, he stopped and he looked at his work and he said that it was good. And then when he had finished, he said, and it was very good. And this is something, actually, I think that we can all relate to. I think when we see beautiful vistas like this, when we see a newborn baby, when we see some beautiful flowers in our garden, or the intricacy of nature, we look and we marvel, don't we, at how amazing God is, how good he is, and how wonderful his creation is. There's something true about that statement that resonates in our hearts. And the story of God's creation, as Fiona told us last week, isn't a scientific one, but a theological one. It's one that tells us not necessarily how God created the world, but why God created the world. And this story of the fall is similarly theological. Because when we think about creation and we think about how good it is, we also I think all of us can recognize times in our lives when it doesn't feel that good. My clicker stopped clicking. Could you go down for me, please? There we go. All the best plans. Evening, Peter. In the same way that we know that creation is good, we also know that creation is fallen. Because what the Bible talks about when it talks about the fall is the fact that creation is not, that we experience today, is not the way that God intended it to be. We know that, don't we? Because we experience suffering. We experience hurt. We experience natural disasters. And we ask the question, how can this be in a world that God created to be good? And the answer that the Bible gives in Genesis 3 is because creation is fallen. It means that creation isn't as God intended it to be. The world is not as God intended it to be. You and I are not as God intended us to be. Our relationships are not as God intended them to be. Therefore, when we ask the question, why is there suffering in this good world? We must remember that the suffering wasn't there when God created it. The suffering wasn't the way that God intended it to be. The hurt wasn't what God intended for his creation. Neither were the natural disasters. The fall explains to us that the world we experience today is not the world as God intended it to be. And I think that that resonates in our hearts just as truly as the knowledge that as we look at the creation, we can see the good God. And that's why the people, the Hebrews, as they had this story, as they handed it down, as God spoke to them about what the world meant and how he had created it, they put these stories next to one another, the story of God's good creation, and then the story of the fall, which explains the suffering and the hurt that we experience today. And this story tells us why the fall exists, why the suffering exists. And largely, that is because God is not the only agent in the world. God is not the only one who has power in his creation. This might seem mad to some of us. It might seem heretical to others. But God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything. He's just flung the stars into space. But what this story tells us is that God might be all-powerful and omnipotent, but he's not tyrannical. He created people. He created a world in which we can choose. We can choose to follow him. We can choose to do as he tells us will be good for us. Or we can choose another way. The story tells us that God isn't the only supernatural force at work in the world today. As Fiona mentioned, we had a couple of baptisms this morning, and I've been doing a lot of baptism prep recently. When I first came to this church 7 months ago, Fiona and Caroline sat me down and said, "We just want to know what your feeling is about baptisms." And I said, "I love baptisms. They're brilliant. Why? How many baptisms do we have?" "We usually get about 2 or 3 a year. And so far, I've had 17 inquiries in the last 7 months." So I've been doing baptism prep time and time again. And as I prepare people for baptism, we go through the promises and the statements in the baptism service. And I'd sit with these couples who often are full of thankfulness and joy at the wonder of God in the creation of this new little sproglet that they've got in their lives. And then I sit there and I say, you were going to baptize your child? Yeah, you want to? Well, these are the words we're going to use. Do you reject the devil? It's a bit strong, isn't it? What, you mean you don't reject the devil? No, it's just using that language. That's a bit strong, isn't it? But actually, I think it's important. And there is a version of the baptism service. This is getting into Anglican liturgy geekness. But you can change it and you can remove those things. But I think if we remove those things, we're in danger of not really understanding the world and the way in which it actually works. I think if we forget the fall in our theology and our understanding of God and the world, we forget something about the way it works. C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books that we as Christians make two equal and opposite errors when it comes to the devil. We either give him far too much attention, power, and control over our lives, or we ignore him completely. Two equal and opposite errors. There is evil at work in our world. And it does have the power to influence, to affect, and to change. But it is not as powerful as our God. The God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who sets us free, the God who redeems us. We should be aware of the fact that there is a devil and he will tempt us. And I don't mean tempt us with a chocolate bar or some ice cream, but tempt us in the way he tempted Eve in our story today. Not simply to eat the fruit that God had told them not to eat. It's far worse than that. What he tempts Eve to do is to disbelieve what God has said. To disbelieve the truth that God really does love her. That God really does want the best for her. That God has her best interests at heart and wants to be with her and to know her. And the devil's schemes haven't changed a whole lot in the thousands of years since this was first put down on stone. The devil's schemes haven't changed a great deal. Does God really love you? Is what the devil is saying to each of us. He might say it by asking us, well, would that really happen if in your life if God really loved you? Or he might say, if God really loved you, surely he'd let you have that thing or this thing, or he'd let you do that or do this. The temptation that Eve fell for and Adam was to disbelieve God and to believe the lie that God didn't really love them. Eve often comes out of this story with a bit of a bad rep. But I think it's interesting if you read it. Actually, when God comes to Adam in the garden and looks for him, Adam's response is, the woman you put here, she gave me the fruit. And you could take that to mean that he's blaming Eve. But I think if you read it carefully, you'll notice it's God that Adam is blaming. The woman you put here, she gave it to me. Actually, God, it's your fault. Would you really have put this woman here if you loved me? she's the one that made me do it, and you put her here. Adam and Eve didn't believe that God really loved them and that he had the best for them. And we sometimes believe the same. Because there is the devil is at work in our lives, tempting us to believe that too. The other agent at work in this story is actually Adam and Eve themselves. And one thing this story shows us is that God does give us free will to choose. God created the garden. God didn't want them to eat the fruit from the tree because God knew that it would hurt them. And God knew that it wasn't best for them. But God still gave them the choice. God is all powerful, but God is not tyrannical. God clearly wanted them not to eat the fruit. That's why he told them. But God didn't get his own way. Like a parent who says to a child, "Don't touch that. It'll hurt you." So the fall shows us that God is not the only agent in the world. There are forces, spiritual forces, other than him at work, but also that we have free will. Free will to choose and free will to make a difference in our own lives and in our own destinies and in the destinies of others. But I started today by saying that my big idea was that knowing that all of creation is fallen can give us hope for the future. Is anyone feeling hopeful right now? We're not quite there, are we? Should we try and inject a little bit of hope into this? Why do I think that the fact that knowing that creation is fallen can give us hope for the future? Firstly, I think it can give us hope because we can know that things aren't the way that God intended them to be. We can know that when suffering and hurt comes in our lives, that that is not God's intention. We can sing songs like we did this evening about the goodness of God, even in those situations, because we know that God, the God who created this good world, still loves us and still has our good on his heart. It is his heart. Also, because we know that this isn't the way that things are supposed to be, and because we know that we have agency, we can make a difference. We can make a difference to the injustice that we see around us. Do you see what I'm saying? If Adam and Eve were able to make free will decisions that changed the impact and the destiny of their lives, we too can make these decisions. They made decisions which changed the impact of their lives for the negative. And we make the same decisions every single day. But we can also make positive decisions. Decisions to fight injustice. Decisions to make a difference in the world. Decisions to change the way we and our society relate to God's creation. So that instead of ruining it, we care for it. For him, for us, and for future generations.